Good morning. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering all of those lawn and garden questions this morning. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Danny. Hello.
How are you today?
I am very well, and how are you doing?
Doing well. Looks like a nice day, albeit I was looking at the forecast, heard Al just mention it too. We're going to occasional showers. Isolated showers.
Oh, no, we haven't seen rain forever.
No, and it's going to happen probably every day till the end of the week.
Every day.
Yeah, but it's okay. It could be worse. It could be raining. Wait a minute. Listen, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question and you want to talk to Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, you can do it two ways. Either phone it in, love to hear your voice, or if you just as soon send a text, that's fine too. Just one number for either, 651-461-9226. What else is happening on your mind today, Teresa?
Well, it's a really exciting event. The Hennepin Master Gardeners are having their Learning Garden Tour on Saturday the 13th. So we're really excited about it. It will be 10 gardens in Edina and South Minneapolis, and I believe there's a community garden in there too. And we'll have master gardeners at each garden. It's a self-guided tour. You can get your tickets now for $15 or $20 at the door, as we say. And just go to Hennepin Master Gardeners or check on our Facebook page. And hope to see you there. It's all different kinds of gardens, and there'll be master gardeners at every garden. You can ask questions. You can take pictures. It's just very exciting, and we love this part of sharing our gardens with the public.
Now, when is that, Teresa?
That's Saturday, July 13th.
13th?
From 8:30 to 4:30.
1 week from today.
1 week from today.
Excellent. You remind us of that before you take your leave today, would you please? That'd be great. I know our listeners are going to want to know about it. I'm looking at a text that came in early, and it says, we have a well-established, very full, healthy hydrangea bush. I believe it may be called the Blushing Bride. No flowers yet this year. Have two others at different locations in the yard. They bloomed 2 weeks ago. All three normally bloom at the same time. Any ideas what's going on?
I would look to see how if it was pruned by rabbits at the wrong time, and also to see how much sun that one's getting, and if perchance there's more water going to one or the other, maybe it's washed some nutrients away and you may need some fertilization, or the plant may need some fertilization with all the rain we've gotten. Those would be my first one, two, and three thoughts. And if the plant looks healthy, I just say I wouldn't worry too much about it, but I would investigate those other three options and see if something there was impacting the plant.
Okay. Let's grab a couple of phone calls in the meantime. Nancy, I think, is first up here calling from Edina. Hi, Nancy. What is your question?
Good morning, everyone. I have an unusual situation. I was given a canna lily, potted canna lily, and when I went to water it, I thought, gee, this is something different. The leaves, and when I was trying to, cut it back and so forth, I started getting a real tingling on my hands, and not a rash, but just a tingling, and I washed my hands right away. Is that unusual for a canna lily potted?
That's interesting, Nancy. I have not heard that canna lilies exude anything. I would just be extra careful. You could have somehow developed some sensitivity to it. It could have been impacted by being in the sun and having something on your hands from the canna. I haven't heard of anything specifically with cannas. You may want to do some research on that. But maybe just for at least the next few times, just wear gloves or be really careful when you touch the canna, especially if you're out in the sun or something like that. That's very interesting. I've not heard of that with cannas.
Oh, very good. Thanks, Nancy.
It could be possible. I've just never heard of it.
Sure. Let's grab another call. Kevin, calling in from Waseca this morning. Kevin, you're on CCO. What is your question?
Oh, very good morning to you. My question is, as a lot of people this year had an overabundance of rain, a large part of the lawn is submerged, covered by water. It's been that way for probably 2 weeks now. And ideal conditions are probably another week of being submerged. Looking at it, a lot of it is brown now. What should be done? Should we just Should I just basically give up on it, or should I go out and mow it short, or should I rake it, or do you feel it will come back?
That's a really good question. If it's been submerged for that long, it's very possible the grass itself has died. It's died of a lack of air. We can't live underwater, neither can grass. It's a terrestrial plant, not a bog plant. What I would probably do is just wait till it dries out, see what happens. I would treat it very, very, very gently, so I wouldn't be fertilizing it. I would let it grow if it's growing and not mow it really short, but give it as much growth as it possibly can, maybe up to 3, 3.5 inches, and then mow it just down to 3 inches. And then think about planning to overseed in the fall and seeing what else you can do to improve the drainage in that area. Maybe you want to do an aeration in the fall to improve some of that drainage so it's not so compact. Or top dress with a little compost to break up clay if it's a heavy clay soil. I would look into that, and I would definitely go to the extension site, extension.umn.edu, and just look at different ways to help improve your lawn and the drainage there. Somewhere, it may never happen again. We may go droughty again like we've been the last few years, but it could just be that soil has been really compacted and really never happen again. Hit hard with the weather that we've had, and it just needs some extra organic matter and some aeration to help improve that drainage for you in the future. Good luck with that, Kevin.
Texter says this, Teresa: my roses have sent up a shoot that is twice as tall as the plant and as thick as my finger. What's happening? Also, the new mock orange bushes do not have that glorious scent. Can I do something to bring out that scent?
Wow. Okay, so first of all, let's talk about the rose cane. When a rose sends up that big long cane, you can cut that right back to the ground. If it's a grafted rose, that cane could be coming from the rootstock rather than the grafted rose. If it's not a grafted rose, which means it's on its own rootstock, sometimes it just gets a little crazy and has a little too much energy and sends up a big long cane. Bring it back down to the height that you want. You could even just cut it right down to the ground if you want to, depending upon where it is in the bush. As for the mock oranges, I haven't heard that that the scent is less, because a lot of us grow them for the beautiful scent. What I would think of is it's possible with the extra rain that scent was just diluted with all the extra water in the system. And so if that scent is really important to you, I'd maybe give it another year or two to see if it does develop in a normal spring, if it develops that scent. And if it doesn't, then you decide, well, this is just not a bush for me. Let me send it to another person who can appreciate the flowers and doesn't care about fragrance, and then look into finding one that is labeled very fragrant and go that route then. Good luck with that.
Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a bit of a break here and invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. We have a ton already. But if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call it in, text it in, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we move to 67 degrees on our way to near 80 both today and actually tomorrow, too, with some scattered showers both today and tomorrow. 67 now on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. And as usual, Teresa, we have a bunch of callers and we have a bunch of texters. So let's put you back to work. As far as the phone callers go, we have a couple of Sharons and one Ron. Let's go to our first Sharon calling in from Stensrud. Hi, Sharon. Good morning. What is your question for Teresa?
Hi. My mom gave me an almond bush a few years ago, and it's about a foot high. And can I trim the branches back or just let them grow?
Normally, people just let those grow, Sharon, but you prune it back to the size it needs to fit in your location. So if you need to prune it back, you can just prune it back right after it finishes blooming. It should be just fine. Otherwise, just protect it from rabbits in the wintertime. And it can get up to 3 to 4 or 5 feet tall, so it really depends. But it sounds like it's a very small one, so unless you need to prune it back, you don't have to.
Okay, very good. Let us move on to another Sharon. This Sharon is calling from North Branch this morning. Morning, Sharon, to you. What is your question?
Good morning. We live in sandy soil, and I was just wondering, how often should we fertilize and when? And then are we still able to put weed killer down?
Okay, so are you talking about your lawn, Sharon?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, so what you want to do is fertilize maybe about once a month with your lawn, and then the last one would be in August. And if you need to put down a weed killer, you can put that down. You may want to think about, with all the rain we've had, perhaps using a spot treatment where you actually just spray the weeds themselves and then do a granular fertilizer for the rest of the lawn. If you have really sandy soil, you can use that, you know, at least once a month. And if you leave the clippings on, that's another fertilizing too. If you have a regular soil and it's not really sandy, you don't have to fertilize your lawn that much. It just depends on how much water you have and how much nutrition the lawn is losing. It'll look a little paler if it needs some fertilizer. If it looks bright green and looks nice and healthy, you may want to back off on the fertilizing. You don't have to fertilize it until it looks like it needs it.
Okay. Let's take one more call before we get back to the text messages. Ron calling in this morning from Sleepy-Eyed, Minnesota. Hi, Ron. What is your question?
Hi. I've got some dead branches and a couple of apple trees, and I was wondering when it's safe to remove them.
Dead branches can be removed immediately, so go ahead and prune those out right away. If you can do it on a day where it's not so humid, that's good. But otherwise, you want to get those dead branches out because we're supposed to get some winds today. If we get those winds, those dead branches can actually take out good branches. So you want to clear out that dead stuff. Dead is dead. It's never coming back. So if you have any dead wood in the trees or the shrubs, you can go ahead and take that out right away.
Okay, speaking of branches, is it okay, Texter says, to trim my lower branches on my river birch?
It should be okay to trim those now if you have to. Again, step back, look at the entire tree, and you never want to take off, say, a quarter of it at a time. So look at the entire mass of leaves, and if you have 3 branches you need to take off, but that would mean that you're taking about 30% or more off of the tree. I'd say this year I only take off 2, next year I take off 1. And just do that when it's nice and it's not as humid and it's not as moist outside, and then watch carefully for infections, like from the bronze birch borer and things like that. I would first of all go to the extension website and double check that pruning timing for birches, because they are susceptible to bronze birch borers. So please go to extension.umn.edu, go to the trees area, and double check that I'm not telling you a fib about when to prune your birch trees.
All right. Listener wants to know, how do I eliminate Canadian horseweed?
You know, I'm not familiar with that one for sure. I once grew a horseweed that I thought was a wonderful plant. It got 5 feet tall, and I then realized that it was a horseweed. I don't know if it was the Canadian one or not. But first of all, don't let them go to seed. And then just dig them out or pull them up as quickly as you can when you find them. If you find that you have a lot of them and you can't be digging up or pulling up a bunch, cut them off at ground level as soon as you find them. And then every week go out there and keep cutting them off at ground level. That actually makes the roots send up more energy, and you're not letting it photosynthesize, so it doesn't get many leaves on it, so it can't replace that energy, and eventually the plant can starve. That way, that's what you can do for a lot of those deep-rooted plants, thistles and things like that. If you can't be out there digging and spraying, you don't want to spray. That continual pruning right at ground level really gets to them eventually. It can take time depending upon how established they are. Good luck with the horseweed.
All right. Let's grab another phone call. Teresa, Darlene is checking in from Victoria today. Darlene, good morning. What is your question, please?
Yeah, I have three Amarilla bulbs. They were sprayed gold at Christmas time, and they're just sitting on a plate. They're out of the ground. What do I do with them? They have about 5-6 inches of leaves grown up.
Okay, so if they're are they in a pot?
No, they're just in the open.
Okay, I would try to get them planted, if possible. Put them in either in the ground or in a big pot is what I would probably do. I'd put each one in a pot and put it outside where those leaves can get a lot of photosynthesis. They can really get a lot of energy, and that energy goes right back into the bulb so it can flower again next year for you. Obviously, it's not going to be gold next year, but it will be whatever color they come out. But get them into the soil so that they can start growing their roots and they can really photosynthesize, give them some sunlight. Good luck with that, Darlene.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. I tell you what, Teresa, we're going to take a break for that forecast, and we come back. We'll have about another half hour of the show to go. We'll pick up on not only phone calls, but text messages as well. Here on our Smart Garden Show, News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering all of those. And we have so many lawn and garden questions this morning. Callers and texters, I'll tell you what, let's do this, Teresa. Let's pick up on a couple of phone calls, and then we'll see how many texts we can field. Mary in New Ulm has been waiting there. Thank you for your patience, Mary. What is your question, please?
I have two questions. I have two lilac bushes that are about 5 feet tall, and I pruned them last fall, and this spring I didn't get any flowers or anything, and they're real bushy now. Do I prune them again, or do I let them go until next year? Is it too late to do any pruning on the lilac bushes?
It's too late, Mary. They set their buds about 3 weeks after they bloom, so they've already put all their flowers on. You can prune them,
okay,
but again, you will be losing all your flowers, which is why you had no flowers this year. You pruned in the fall.
Okay, now I have a hibiscus question. I have two hibiscus, and the leaves are curling up. All the other flowers around them are fine, but it's the two hibiscus plants that the leaves are curling on.
Are these
all of the leaves?
Are they tropical hibiscus, or are they perennials where they come back outside every year?
They're perennials. They're perennials.
I'm not sure what's going on with that. I would first of all suggest go to extension.umn.edu, but I'd wonder if it's possible that they're just in a lower spot or somehow getting a little too much water and they're just a little stressed. That would be my first response there. If the leaves are curling a little bit, sometimes leaves do just curl from heat. We haven't had that much heat, so I'm not sure why they would be curling. I just don't know that for sure. Sorry, Mary.
Let's see. Texter says, we had two deer visit our yard the other night. They feasted on my large hosta plant and left only the stems. Will my hosta produce new leaves this season, do you think?
Your hosta will produce new leaves this season. Hopefully the deer won't get to it. You may want to look into some kind of protection for that hosta plant, or to keep the deer out of your yard, whichever works easiest for you. Good luck with that.
Can I transplant daylilies now?
As long as they're not blooming, you can transplant your daylilies. If they're blooming and you must transplant them, just do it quickly. Have the new hole already dug. Move them and disturb the roots as little as possible. But normally we don't transplant or divide plants when they're blooming.
Okay, let's grab another phone call. Dorothy, calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Dorothy, what is your question, please?
I think I've got a question that I just heard someone else ask earlier. I have two Korean lilac bushes, and I'm really late in getting the old blossom, old blooms trimmed off. If I trim them off now, am I cutting off some of the new growth?
You might be cutting off some of the new growth, but you can just, if you want to prune off that old stuff, just prune it off, maybe leave a little teeny tiny bit of it left so you aren't cutting into fresh wood. Otherwise, if you need to look, if you want the look of a cleaner lilac, go ahead and clip those off. Dead is dead. It's not going to do any damage. It's when you cut into living wood that sometimes you cut into the blooming for next year.
Teresa Texter says this, when can I trim back climbing rose bushes and just regular rose bushes?
You can prune your roses as you need to during the growing season. So those climbing roses, lots of them are single bloomers in the spring, so you can go ahead and prune those back. Always double check to make sure it's not too humid that day, and then just watch for things like fire blight or something on your roses. If you're going from one rose bush to another, I would try to sterilize my pruners between the rose bushes just so that you're not bringing diseases around. But you can prune those back pretty much all summer long if you want.
You know, I haven't mentioned the university's Extension website, which we really should do. It's such a great resource, extension.umn.edu. You can find all sorts of things. You can even ask a master gardener stuff, right?
You can. You can find out wonderful things. You can find out things about Japanese beetles, if you're interested, which we're starting to see now. So there's just wonderful information on there. They do an excellent job on the website.
They're good. This listener, Teresa, says, I have one tomato plant that has a blackened indentation on the side of each tomato. What is exactly is it, and should I pull it out so not to infect others?
It's probably not a disease. I would guess it's a bird pecking at the tomato, something like that. It could be that that tomato may develop a little bit of a rotten spot in that area. You can easily prune that off once it's ripe. You can take it even before it gets a little ripe and prune it off. If you want to remove the tomatoes, you can. But I'm guessing it's just a little bird pecking at damage the outside of that. It could also have been hail. If you had a hail come through, a hailstorm come through while the little tomatoes were blooming, where they were starting to grow. But with just one per tomato, it sounds more like a little bird got in there and just was seeing what was going on.
Uh-huh. Here's a lawn question, Teresa. I am overjoyed. Texter says how well my dormant seeding last fall has worked out. I'm sure the rain we've had so far deserves a lot of the credit. I'm just wondering, Texter says, if there is anything I should be doing now in July to help support my lawn.
Okay, first of all, take credit for doing dormant seeding. You did good. You can take the credit. That's okay. Just mow your grass high, meaning if you can let it grow up to 4 inches and then come back down to 3 to 3.5 inches, that enables it to have a stronger root system. If you want to and leave the clippings on, that's giving it one free fertilizer a year. If it's a Kentucky bluegrass lawn, while it's nice and healthy growing, you could consider giving it a little bit of fertilizer. However, most of the time, if your soils are fine, you don't have to worry about that. So you should be just fine. It sounds like you did everything right, and then put on the winterizer in late September, early October, as according to the Extension website directions. And your lawn should be just fine, and congratulations on the dormant seeding. You did well.
Bravo. Listener, another tomato plant question. They had lots of greenery, but not much fruit. How can I boost the tomato growth?
You can make sure that you're not fertilizing with the fertilizer that's high with the first number. That's the nitrogen, which impacts leaves and helps them grow more. If you want to prune back a little bit of the foliage, you can. However, we just need a little more sunshine and a little more heat, and those tomatoes will start to bloom. It could just be that you also purchased a tomato plant that blooms a little bit later and is not like an early girl who comes out bright and early in the early part part of the season, but maybe starts to produce flowers now. So just watch the fertilizer and just understand and look at the tag again, what your tomato plant said when it was a bloomer, mid-season, late season, or early season.
Okay. You mentioned the critters a bit ago. This texter says, we have a healthy lawn, however, in the last few days, we've seen hundreds of Japanese beetles emerging from the soil. How can we treat them, and is my lawn in danger of damage?
Well, the damage would have already occurred from the grubs. They have pupated into beetles now, and that sounds like a horror scene to me, all those beetles coming out of the ground. There's nothing you can do right now for the beetles. They are going to fly away. Beetles can fly 2, 3, 4, 5 miles. So there's nothing you should do. I would just watch for damage later in the season. And then if you do see some damage where the grass seems to roll up like a carpet, then just dig down and see if you're seeing smaller grubs and then treat them accordingly. And I would definitely go to the Extension website. They have a good calendar about when to treat them. When they get a certain size or they get deeper in the soil, it makes no sense to treat them. So the beetles are not going to do any damage to your lawn right now. They're going and looking for people's apple trees and roses and birch trees right now. So just watch for future infestations.
Okay. Here's a neat story. My 4-year-old grandson planted beans in a large pot on our deck this spring. They're coming along beautifully, but some critter has started chewing on it during the night. Now, if I spray it with something, maybe like cayenne powder or something, will that flavor the eventual beans?
It probably won't flavor the beans. If you want to put a repellent spray down, make sure that it does say it can be used on edible crops. That's really important. And what you may want to do is perhaps spray the containers or maybe even put up a little chicken wire for a little while. Sharp cuts often mean rabbits. Cuts that are kind of mangly could be a deer. So, yes, a deer could get up on your deck. Beans are delicious. They love the beans. So if it's kind of mangly or pulled out of the pot, that would be a deer. Otherwise, I would just try a little chicken wire container for a little while on these guys so that they can get big enough and the predator or the critter just goes away and finds something else to eat.
Before we do a quick break, another texter says, when is a good time to prune yews?
You can prune your yew anytime. I would stop the 1st of August. So you can prune it to shape and size. This time of year is just fine.
All right, very good. Hang on, Teresa. We'll take a quick break and be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions. By the way, next hour, 9 o'clock hour, Andy Lindis returns from Lindis Construction. We'll be talking home improvement. So any kind of a home improvement question you may have, by all means, send it in via text or phone next hour. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour on 830 WCCO. Denny Long here along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney welcoming your lawn and garden questions, of which there are still many, Teresa. So let's maybe we'll do a little lightning round here. Let's see how many folks we can help out. Another one text-wise said, I overwintered some dipladenias, having trouble getting them to bloom. Any ideas?
We need more heat and sun.
Oh, that's it.
Be patient.
Okay. Only a few, another texter says, only a few of my irises bloom this year. They might be too crowded. When's the best time to thin them?
You can move those and divide them in August is the best time. That way their leaves have enough time to photosynthesize now. And then when you have to cut back the fans in August, you cut back the photosynthesizing, but they still have time to root out. August is usually best for iris.
All right. How to trim pagoda dogwood trees?
You can trim them to shape. They're a very horizontal tree. So just trim them to shape or size, whatever you need to trim, at pretty much any time.
This listener has sandy soil, and they want to know, what are good numbers for a fertilizer do I use for sandy soil?
It really depends. The organics will be lower numbers, and the non-organics will be higher numbers. And it depends on what you're fertilizing for. If you're fertilizing your lawn, you would obviously want the nitrogen to be higher, the first number. If you're fertilizing tomato plants, you would obviously like the second or third numbers to be higher. So just get the fertilizer that's for whatever you're growing.
Okay. A tester says, your show is very helpful to this brown thumb gardener. My patio tomatoes are looking great with lots of 3-inch fruit still green. My pots are large with good drainage, but I'm concerned that the soil has compacted with the heavy rains we've had. The soil level is down about 4 inches. Do I need to try to loosen it a bit? If so, how?
Nope, don't worry about that. Normally when you put soil in a pot, it will tend to sink. That's totally normal. If you want to put a little soil on top, you could, but it's not necessary. Don't worry about it. It's just the normal compaction of a soil in the pot.
You know, just thinking early on when we just opened up the show, Teresa, you mentioned something that's going to be happening 1 week from today, I believe. What event is that?
That is the Hennepin County Master Gardener Learning Garden Tour. So we have 10 gardens in Edina and South Minneapolis that feature different kinds of growing things and different plants that are featured, and all designed by master gardeners and cared for by master gardeners. And we will have a lot of master gardeners at each site to answer your questions. You can go to our Facebook page or HennepinMasterGardener.org and get online, buy the tickets early. They're $15. It's a self-guided tour. At the door, so to speak, they will be $20. So you can save yourself $5 to buy a cool coffee. And we will have food trucks at some of the gardens. There will be a book nook so you can buy gardening books. And there will be a gardening shed where you can buy crafts created by the master gardeners. And they have some really cool stuff there. They're so creative, those guys.
What is that website again for folks that want to check it out?
HennepinMasterGardeners.org.
HennepinMasterGardener.org. Yeah. Sounds like a fun.
Yes.
Let's hope the weather holds out for that. Sounds like a fun time.
We've almost always had good weather, and I'm knocking on wood right now. So
we'll do it again.
I didn't jinx it. Knock on wood right now. Okay.
Sounds like fun. Let's grab a couple more texts. I have trimmed my spent orchid, texter says. Would putting it outside be a good idea, sun or shade or mixed?
I would probably put it in the shade, first of all. It would be nice outside. And then just make sure, if you want to move it into part shade, that's okay. Just watch it so it doesn't get sunburned. Orchids can handle lower light situations, so to speak. So I would start it in the shade.
I was thinking it's not surprising that we're having a lot of tomato plant questions today.
Yes. Tis the season. We love our tomatoes in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Now, this texter says some of our tomato plants have the leaves curling up. The bottom few branches look good. What's happening there?
Sometimes the leaves, it's called tomato leaf curl. It actually is a response, a physiological response to hot weather. And we did have a few days of really hot weather, sudden hot weather, and it just causes the leaves to curl up. They stay green. They still photosynthesize. They never uncurl for the rest of the season. So those top leaves, they could have just been a little more tender, and they were right in the bright sunshine, whereas the bottom leaves had a little bit of shade, so they weren't impacted as much by the sudden, hot, heavy sun that we had for those few days.
This listener says, my mountain ash has brown leaves dropping and the maples never seeded. What's going on there?
I think the maples didn't seed so heavily this year. Mine have not dropped their seeds yet. It's just because of the years of drought. So I wouldn't be too worried about the maples as long as they look nice and healthy. The mountain ash, I would think about perhaps having a certified arborist come and look at it if it's a big tree in your yard. They do tend to get certain diseases, so you just want to watch that. However, it could just be damage from squirrels biting off leaves and then causing the leaves to fall to the ground. So you might want to have a certified arborist look at it at the situation and see what's going on with it.
All right. The listener says, we have two dwarf pure white hydrangeas. Their flowers have tiny little rust spots. that are killing the blooms. I see no insects. Do you think this is a disease?
It could just be actual physical rust. They do get a fungus, a rust, because of the damp weather. Sometimes in those, and those white flowers sometimes can show that damage a little more. Also, hail can damage things and then cause damage, cause it to brown up a little bit. If it looks really horrible, then cut off the flower so you're not seeing it. It should, if... depending upon what kind of hydrangea it is, it may rebloom with more flowers. Or maybe you just won't have those flowers to look at this year, but next year will be different. I wouldn't worry if the rest of the plant looks healthy that it's a disease. It could even just be little insects nibbling on it, and then they go away, and now you just have the damage from the damaged little flowers.
Teresa, this listener is looking for recommendations. They have a 4x10 plot garden. They want to know about fertilization and other general maintenance. Any recommendations, any tips for that?
Yep. First of all, I'd go to the Extension website. It depends on what you're growing, whether you're growing a perennial garden, whether you're trying to grow a cover crop, whether you're trying to grow veggies, and what veggies you're growing. So it really depends on what you're growing. But generally, healthy soils don't always need a fertilizing. Most of your perennial plants don't always need fertilizing. Your vegetables do, because you're withdrawing so much of the fruit and you're taking a lot out, so they're not replenishing themselves as quickly. But a lot of the perennials don't need a lot of fertilizing if the soil is nice and healthy. And you can always get a soil test to test whether or not that soil is lacking. And that soil test will tell you if you need to be fertilizing, depending upon what you're growing in that garden bed.
Okay. Listener says this via text: how deep a barrier do I need to stop encroaching daylilies?
Probably I would go down at least a foot, if not a little bit deeper, so that you could do that. That's what I would try, at least a foot. That's pretty lot of work to do, but go for it.
Okay, and 1 week from today is the Hennepin Master Gardener. What do you call it again?
It's the Hennepin Master Gardener Learning Garden Tour, because we're supposed to be teaching you stuff, so it's Learning Garden. And if you can't go to the tour, head out to the Arboretum. There's lots of cool stuff going on out there.
Oh, absolutely. Always go to the Arboretum, and once you go, you'll be taking friends and relatives there.
You will be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Teresa, always a pleasure. You have a good rest of the weekend and a good week, and I'm sure we will be chatting again here in the next couple weeks or so.
We will. It's been my pleasure. Take care, everyone.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. That's coming along next hour. I want to remind you that I'll be filling in tomorrow morning for the vacationing Susie Jones. And on our health hour tomorrow, you may have heard that the Surgeon General is asking for social media warning labels. We're going to be talking to a psychologist tomorrow, who's a local psychologist, about that very thing, among other subjects as well. So if you have kids and grandkids and you're concerned about that too, you can join us. We'll be talking with David Nathan tomorrow on the Health Show. Right now in the Twin Cities, 67 degrees. Stay with us. Good morning. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering all of those lawn and garden questions this morning. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Danny. Hello.
How are you today?
I am very well, and how are you doing?
Doing well. Looks like a nice day, albeit I was looking at the forecast, heard Al just mention it too. We're going to occasional showers.
Not
isolated
rain.
Showers.
Oh, no, we haven't seen rain forever.
No, and it's going to happen probably every day till the end of the week.
Every day.
Yeah, but it's okay. It could be worse. It could be raining. Wait a minute. Listen, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question and you want to talk to Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, you can do it two ways. Either phone it in, love to hear your voice, or if you just as soon send a text, that's fine too. Just one number for either, 651-461-9226. What else is happening on your mind today, Teresa?
Well, it's a really exciting event. The Hennepin Master Gardeners are having their Learning Garden Tour on Saturday the 13th. So we're really excited about it. It will be 10 gardens in Edina and South Minneapolis, and I believe there's a community garden in there too. And we'll have master gardeners at each garden. It's a self-guided tour. You can get your tickets now for $15 or $20 at the door, as we say, and just go to Hennepin Master Gardeners or check on our Facebook page. And hope to see you there. It's all different kinds of gardens, and there'll be master gardeners at every garden. You can ask questions. You can take pictures. It's just very exciting, and we love this part of sharing our gardens with the public.
Now, when is that, Teresa?
That's Saturday, July 13th.
13th?
From 8:30 to 4:30.
1 week from today.
1 week from today.
Excellent. You remind us of that before you take your leave today, would you please? That'd be great. I know our listeners are going to want to know about it. I'm looking at a text that came in early, and it says, we have a well-established, very full, healthy hydrangea bush. I believe it may be called the Blushing Bride. No flowers yet this year. Have two others at different locations in the yard. They bloomed 2 weeks ago. All three normally bloom at the same time. Any ideas what's going on?
I would look to see how if it was pruned by rabbits at the wrong time, and also to see how much sun that one's getting, and if perchance there's more water going to one or the other, maybe it's washed some nutrients away and you may need some fertilization, or the plant may need some fertilization with all the rain we've gotten. Those would be my first one, two, and three thoughts. And if the plant looks healthy, I just say I wouldn't worry too much about it, but I would investigate those other three options and see if something there was impacting the plant.
Okay. Let's grab a couple of phone calls in the meantime. Nancy, I think, is first up here calling from Edina. Hi, Nancy. What is your question?
Good morning, everyone. I have an unusual situation. I was given a canna lily, potted canna lily, and when I went to water it, I thought, gee, this is something different. The leaves, and when I was trying to, cut it back and so forth, I started getting a real tingling on my hands, and not a rash, but just a tingling, and I washed my hands right away. Is that unusual for a canna lily potted?
That's interesting, Nancy. I have not heard that canna lilies exude anything. I would just be extra careful. You could have somehow developed some sensitivity to it. It could have been impacted by being in the sun and having something on your hands from the canna. I haven't heard of anything specifically with cannas. You may want to do some research on that. But maybe just for at least the next few times, just wear gloves or be really careful when you touch the canna, especially if you're out in the sun or something like that. That's very interesting. I've not heard of that with cannas.
Oh, very good. Thanks, Nancy.
It could be possible. I've just never heard of it.
Sure. Let's grab another call. Kevin, calling in from Waseca this morning. Kevin, you're on CCO. What is your question?
Oh, very good morning to you. My question is, as a lot of people this year had an overabundance of rain, a large part of the lawn is submerged, covered by water. It's been that way for probably 2 weeks now. And ideal conditions are probably another week of being submerged. Looking at it, a lot of it is brown now. What should be done? Should I just basically give up on it, or should I go out and mow it short, or should I rake it, or do you feel that it will come back?
That's a really good question. If it's been submerged for that long, it's very possible the grass itself has died. It's died of a lack of air. We can't live underwater, neither can grass. It's a terrestrial plant, not a bog plant. What I would probably do is just wait till it dries out, see what happens. I would treat it very, very, very gently, so I wouldn't be fertilizing it. I would let it grow if it's growing, and not mow it really short, but give it as much growth as it possibly can, maybe up to 3, 3.5 inches, and then mow it just down to 3 inches. And then think about planning to overseed in the fall and seeing what else you can do to improve the drainage in that area. Maybe you want to do an aeration in the fall to improve some of that drainage so it's not so compact, or top dress with a little compost to break up clay if it's a heavy clay soil. I would look into that, and I would definitely go to the extension site, extension.umn.edu, and just look at different ways to help improve your lawn and the drainage there. Somewhere, it may never happen again. We may not. We may go droughty again like we've been the last few years, but it could just be that soil has been really compacted and really never happen again. We may not. We may go droughty again like we've been the last few years, but it could just be that soil has been really compacted and really hit hard with the weather that we've had, and it just needs some extra organic matter and some aeration to help improve that drainage for you in the future. Good luck with that, Kevin.
Texter says this, Teresa: my roses have sent up a shoot that is twice as tall as the plant and as thick as my finger. What's happening? Also, the new mock orange bushes do not have that glorious scent. Can I do something to bring out that scent?
Wow. Okay, so first of all, let's talk about the rose cane. When a rose cane sends, when a rose sends up that big long cane, you can cut that right back to the ground. If it's a grafted rose, that cane could be coming from the rootstock rather than the grafted rose. If it's not a grafted rose, which means it's on its own rootstock, sometimes it just gets a little crazy and has a little too much energy and sends up a big long cane. Bring it back down to the height that you want. You could even just cut it right down to the ground if you want to, depending upon where it is in the bush. As for the mock oranges, I haven't heard that they've that the scent is less, because a lot of us grow them for the beautiful scent. What I would think of is it's possible with the extra rain that scent was just diluted with all the extra water in the system. And so if that scent is really important to you, I'd maybe give it another year or two to see if it does develop in a normal spring, if it develops that scent. And if it doesn't, then you decide, well, this is just not a bush for me. Let me send it to another person who can appreciate the flowers and doesn't care about fragrance, and then look into finding one that is labeled very fragrant and go that route then. Good luck with that.
Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a bit of a break here and invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. We have a ton already. But if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call it in, text it in, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, we move to 67 degrees on our way to near 80 both today and actually tomorrow, too, with some scattered showers both today and tomorrow. 67 now on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering all of those lawn and garden questions at 651-461-9226. And as usual, Teresa, we have a bunch of callers and we have a bunch of texters. So let's put you back to work. As far as the phone callers go, we have a couple of Sharons and one Ron. Let's go to our first Sharon, calling in from Stensrud. Hi, Sharon. Good morning. What is your question for Teresa?
Hi. My mom gave me an almond bush a few years ago, and it's about a foot high. And can I trim the branches back or just let them grow?
Normally, people just let those grow, Sharon, but you prune it back to the size it needs to fit in your location. So if you need to prune it back, you can just prune it back right after it finishes blooming. It should be just fine. Otherwise, just protect it from rabbits in the wintertime. And it can get up to 3 to 4 or 5 feet tall. So it really depends. But it sounds like it's a very small one. So unless you need to prune it back, you don't have to.
Okay, very good. Let us move on to another Sharon. This Sharon is calling from North Branch this morning. Morning, Sharon, to you. What is your question?
Good morning. We live in sandy soil, and I was just wondering, how often should we fertilize and when? And then are we still able to put weed killer down?
Okay, so are you talking about your lawn, Sharon?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, so what you want to do is fertilize maybe about once a month with your lawn, and then the last one would be in August. And if you need to put down a weed killer, you can put that down. You may want to think about, with all the rain we've had, perhaps using a spot treatment where you actually just spray the weeds themselves and then do a granular fertilizer for the rest of the lawn. If you have really sandy soil, you can use that, you know, at least once a month. And if you leave the clippings on, that's another fertilizing too. If you have a regular soil and it's not really sandy, you don't have to fertilize your lawn that much. It just depends on how much water you have and how much nutrition the lawn is losing. It'll look a little paler if it needs some fertilizer. If it looks bright green and looks nice and healthy, you may want to back off on the fertilizing. You don't have to fertilize it until it looks like it needs it.
Okay. Let's take one more call before we get back to the text messages. Ron calling in this morning from Sleepy-Eyed, Minnesota. Hi, Ron. What is your question?
Hi. I've got some dead branches and a couple of apple trees, and I was wondering when it's safe to remove them.
Dead branches can be removed immediately, so go ahead and prune those out right away. If you can do it on a day where it's not so humid, that's good, but otherwise you want to get those dead branches out because we're supposed to get some winds today. If we get those winds, those dead branches can actually take out good branches, so you want to clear out that dead stuff. Dead is dead. It's never coming back, so if you have any dead wood in the trees or the shrubs, you can go ahead and take that out right away.
Okay. Speaking of branches, is it okay, Texter says, to trim my lower branches on my river birch?
It should be okay to trim those now if you have to. Again, step back, look at the entire tree, and you never want to take off, say, a quarter of it at a time. So look at the entire mass of leaves, and if you have three branches you need to take off, but that would mean that you're taking about 30% or more off of the tree. I'd say this year I only take off two, next year I take off one. And just do that when it's nice and it's not as humid and it's not as moist outside, and then watch carefully for infections, like from the birch borer, bronze birch borer, and things like that. I would first of all go to the extension website and double check that pruning timing for birches, because they are susceptible to bronze birch borers. So please go to extension.umn.edu, go to the trees area, and double check that I'm not telling you a fib about when to prune your birch trees.
All right. Listener wants to know, how do I eliminate Canadian horseweed?
You know, I'm not familiar with that one for sure. I once grew a horseweed that I thought was a wonderful plant. It got 5 feet tall, and I then realized that it was a horseweed. I don't know if it was the Canadian one or not. But first of all, don't let them go to seed. And then just dig them out or pull them up as quickly as you can when you find them. If you find that you have a lot of them and you can't be digging up or pulling up a bunch, cut them off at ground level as soon as you find them. And then every week go out there and keep cutting them off at ground level. That actually makes the roots send up more energy, and you're not letting it photosynthesize, so it doesn't get many leaves on it, so it can't replace that energy, and eventually the plant can starve. That way, that's what you can do for a lot of those deep-rooted plants, thistles and things like that. If you can't be out there digging and spraying, you don't want to spray. That continual pruning right at ground level really gets to them eventually. It can take time depending upon how established they are. Good luck with the horseweed.
All right. Let's grab another phone call. Teresa, Darlene is checking in from Victoria today. Darlene, good morning. What is your question, please?
Yeah, I have three Amarilla bulbs. They were sprayed gold at Christmas time, and they're just sitting on a plate. They're out of the ground. What do I do with them? They have about 5-6 inches of leaves grown up.
Okay, so are they in a pot?
No, they're just in the open.
Okay, I would try to get them planted. If possible, put them in either in the ground or in a big pot is what I would probably do. I'd put each one in a pot and put it outside where those leaves can get a lot of photosynthesis. They can really get a lot of energy, and that energy goes right back into the bulb so it can flower again next year for you. Obviously, it's not going to be gold next year, but it will be whatever color they come out. But get them into the soil so that they can start growing their roots and they can really photosynthesize, give them some sunlight. Good luck with that, Darlene.
All right. Okay. Thank you. I tell you what, Teresa, we're going to take a break for that forecast, and we come back. We'll have about another half hour of the show to go. We'll pick up on not only phone calls, but text messages as well. Here on our Smart Garden Show, News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering all of those. And we have so many lawn and garden questions this morning. Callers and texters, I'll tell you what, let's do this, Teresa. Let's pick up on a couple of phone calls, and then we'll see how many texts we can field. Mary in New Ulm has been waiting there. Thank you for your patience, Mary. What is your question, please?
I have two questions. I have two lilac bushes that are about 5 feet tall, and I pruned them last fall, and this spring I didn't get any flowers or anything, and they're real bushy now. Do I prune them again, or do I let them go until next year? Is it too late to do any pruning on the lilac bushes?
It's too late, Mary. They set their buds about 3 weeks after they bloom, so they've already put all their flowers on. You can prune them, okay. But again, you will be losing all your flowers, which is why you had no flowers this year. You pruned in the fall.
Okay, now I have a hibiscus question. I have two hibiscus, and the leaves are curling up. All the other flowers around them are fine, but it's the two hibiscus plants that the leaves are curling on all of the leaves.
Are they tropical hibiscus, or are they perennials where they come back outside every year?
They're perennials.
I'm not sure what's going on with that. I would first of all suggest go to extension.umn.edu, but I'd wonder if it's possible that they're just in a lower spot or somehow getting a little too much water and they're just a little stressed. That would be my first response there. If the leaves are curling a little bit, sometimes leaves do just curl from heat. We haven't had that much heat, so I'm not sure why they would be curling. I just don't know that for sure. Sorry, Mary.
Let's see. Texter says, we had two deer visit our yard the other night. They feasted on my large hosta plant and left only the stems. Will my hosta produce new leaves this season, do you think?
Your hosta will produce new leaves this season. Hopefully the deer won't get to it. You may want to look into some kind of protection for that hosta plant or to keep the deer out of your yard, whichever works easiest for you. Good luck with that.
Can I transplant daylilies now?
As long as they're not blooming, you can transplant your daylilies. If they're blooming and you must transplant them, just do it quickly. Have the new hole already dug. Move them and disturb the roots as little as possible. But normally we don't transplant or divide plants when they're blooming.
Okay, let's grab another phone call. Dorothy calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Dorothy, what is your question, please?
I think I've got a question that I just heard someone else ask earlier. I have two Korean lilac bushes, and I'm really late in getting the old blooms trimmed off. If I trim them off now, am I cutting off some of the new growth?
You might be cutting off some of the new growth, but you can just, if you want to prune off that old stuff, just prune it off, maybe leave a little teeny tiny bit of it left so you aren't cutting into fresh wood. Otherwise, if you want the look of a cleaner lilac, go ahead and clip those off. Dead is dead. It's not going to do any damage. It's when you cut into living wood that sometimes you cut into the blooming for next year.
Teresa, texter says this, when can I trim back climbing rose bushes and just regular rose bushes?
You can prune your roses as you need to during the growing season. So those climbing roses, lots of them are single bloomers in the spring, so you can go ahead and prune those back. Always double check to make sure it's not too humid that day, and then just watch for things like fire blight or something on your roses. If you're going from one rose bush to another, I would try to sterilize my pruners between the rose bushes just so that you're not bringing diseases around. But you can prune those back pretty much all summer long if you want.
You know, I haven't mentioned the university's Extension website, which we really should do. It's such a great resource, extension.umn.edu. You can find all sorts of things. You can even ask a master gardener stuff, right?
You can. You can find out wonderful things. You can find out things about Japanese beetles, if you're interested, which we're starting to see now. So there's just wonderful information on there. They do an excellent job on the website.
They're good. This listener, Teresa, says, I have one tomato plant that has a blackened indentation on the side of each tomato. What is exactly is it, and should I pull it out so not to infect others?
It's probably not a disease. I would guess it's a bird pecking at the tomato, something like that. It could be that that tomato may develop a little bit of a rotten spot in that area. You can easily prune that off once it's ripe. You can take it even before it gets a little ripe and prune it off. If you want to remove the tomatoes, you can. But I'm guessing it's just a little bird pecking at damage the outside of that. It could also have been hail. If you had a hail come through, a hailstorm come through while the little tomatoes were blooming, where they were starting to grow. I'm sorry, where they were starting to grow. But with just one per tomato, it sounds more like a little bird got in there and just was seeing what was going on.
Uh-huh. Here's a lawn question, Teresa. I am overjoyed. Texter says how well my dormant seeding last fall has worked out. I'm sure the rain we've had so far deserves a lot of the credit. I'm just wondering, Texter says, if there is anything I should be doing now in July to help support my lawn.
Okay, first of all, take credit for doing dormant seeding. You did good. You can take the credit. That's okay. Just mow your grass high, meaning if you can let it grow up to 4 inches and then come back down to 3 to 3.5 inches, that enables it to have a stronger root system. If you want to and leave the clippings on, that's giving it one free fertilizer a year. If it's a Kentucky bluegrass lawn, while it's nice and healthy growing, you could consider giving it a little bit of fertilizer. However, most of the time, if your soils are fine, you don't have to worry about that. So you should be just fine. It sounds like you did everything right, and then put on the winterizer in late September, early October, as according to the Extension website directions. And your lawn should be just fine, and congratulations on the dormant seeding. You did well.
Bravo. Listener, another tomato plant question. They had lots of greenery, but not much fruit. How can I boost the tomato growth?
You can make sure that you're not fertilizing with the fertilizer that's high with the first number. That's the nitrogen, which impacts leaves and helps them grow more. If you want to prune back a little bit of the foliage, you can. However, we just need a little more sunshine and a little more heat, and those tomatoes will start to bloom. It could just be that you also purchased a tomato plant that blooms a little bit later and is not like an early girl who comes out bright and early in the early part of the season, but maybe starts to produce flowers now. So just watch the fertilizer and just understand and look at the tag again, what your tomato plant said when it was a bloomer, mid-season, late season, or early season.
Okay. You mentioned the critters a bit ago. This texter says, we have a healthy lawn. However, in the last few days, we've seen hundreds of Japanese beetles emerging from the soil. How can we treat them, and is my lawn in danger of damage?
Well, the damage would have already occurred from the grubs. They have pupated into beetles now, and that sounds like a horror scene to me, all those beetles coming out of the ground. There's nothing you can do right now for the beetles. They are going to fly away. Beetles can fly 2, 3, 4, 5 miles, so there's nothing you should do. I would just watch for damage later in the season. And then if you do see some damage where the grass seems to roll up like a carpet, then just dig down and see if you're seeing smaller grubs and then treat them accordingly. And I would definitely go to the Extension website. They have a good calendar about when to treat them. When they get a certain size or they get deeper in the soil, it makes no sense to treat them. So the beetles are not going to do any damage to your lawn right now. They're going and looking for people's apple trees and roses and birch trees right now. So just watch for future infestations.
Okay. Here's a neat story. My four-year-old grandson planted beans in a large pot on our deck this spring. They're coming along beautifully, but some critter has started chewing on it during the night. Now, if I spray it with something, maybe like cayenne powder or something, will that flavor the eventual beans?
It probably won't flavor the beans. If you want to put a repellent spray down, make sure that it does say it can be used on edible crops. That's really important. And what you may want to do is perhaps spray the containers or maybe even put up a little chicken wire for a little while. Sharp cuts often mean rabbits. Cuts that are kind of mangly could be a deer. So, yes, a deer could get up on your deck. Beans are delicious. They love the beans. So if it's kind of mangly or pulled out of the pot, that would be a deer. Otherwise, I would just try a little chicken wire container for a little while on these guys so that they can get big enough and the predator or the critter just goes away and finds something else to eat.
Before we do a quick break, another texter says, when is a good time to prune yews?
You can prune your yew anytime. I would stop the 1st of August. So you can prune it to shape and size. This time of year is just fine.
All right, very good. Hang on, Teresa. We'll take a quick break and be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions. By the way, next hour, 9 o'clock hour, Andy Lindis returns from Lindis Construction. We'll be talking home improvement. So any kind of a home improvement question you may have, by all means, send it in via text or phone next hour. Here on News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour on 830 WCCO. Denny Long here along with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney welcoming your lawn and garden questions, of which there are still many, Teresa. So let's maybe we'll do a little lightning round here. Let's see how many folks we can help out. Another one text-wise said, I overwintered some dipladenias, having trouble getting them to bloom. Any ideas?
We need more heat and sun.
Oh, that's it.
Be patient.
Okay. Only a few, another texter says, only a few of my irises bloom this year. They might be too crowded. When's the best time to thin them?
You can move those and divide them in August is the best time. That way their leaves have enough time to photosynthesize now. And then when you have to cut back the fans in August, you cut back the photosynthesizing, but they still have time to root out. August is usually best for iris.
All right. How to trim pagoda dogwood trees?
You can trim them to shape. They're a very horizontal tree. So just trim them to shape or size, whatever you need to trim, at pretty much any time.
This listener has sandy soil, and they want to know, what are good numbers for a fertilizer do I use for sandy soil?
It really depends. The organics will be lower numbers, and the non-organics will be higher numbers. And it depends on what you're fertilizing for. If you're fertilizing your lawn, you would obviously want the nitrogen to be higher, the first number. If you're fertilizing tomato plants, you would obviously like the second or third numbers to be higher. So just get the fertilizer that's for whatever you're growing.
Okay. A tester says, your show is very helpful to this brown thumb gardener. My patio tomatoes are looking great with lots of 3-inch fruit still green. My pots are large with good drainage, but I'm concerned that the soil has compacted with the heavy rains we've had. The soil level is down about 4 inches. Do I need to try to loosen it a bit? If so, how?
Nope, don't worry about that. Normally when you put soil in a pot, it will tend to sink. That's totally normal. If you want to put a little soil on top, you could, but it's not necessary. Don't worry about it. It's just the normal compaction of a soil in the pot.
You know, just thinking early on when we just opened up the show, Teresa, you mentioned something that's going to be happening 1 week from today, I believe. What event is that?
That is the Hennepin County Master Gardener Learning Garden Tour. So we have 10 gardens in Edina and South Minneapolis that feature different kinds of growing things and different plants that are featured, and all designed by master gardeners and cared for by master gardeners. And we will have a lot of master gardeners at each site to answer your questions. You can go to our Facebook page or HennepinMasterGardener.org and get online, buy the tickets early. They're $15. It's a self-guided tour. At the door, so to speak, they will be $20. So you can save yourself $5 to buy a cool coffee. And we will have food trucks at some of the gardens. There will be a book nook, so you can buy gardening books. And there will be a gardening shed where you can buy crafts created by the master gardeners. And they have some really cool stuff there. They're so creative, those guys.
What is that website again for folks that want to check it out?
HennepinMasterGardeners.org.
HennepinMasterGardeners.org. Yeah. Sounds like a fun...
Yes.
Let's hope the weather holds out for that. Sounds like a fun time.
We've almost always had good weather, and I'm knocking on wood right now.
We'll do it again.
I didn't jinx it. Knock on wood right now. Okay.
Sounds like fun. Let's grab a couple more texts. I have trimmed my spent orchid, texter says. Would putting it outside be a good idea, sun or shade or mixed?
I would probably put it in the shade, first of all. It would be nice outside. And then just make sure, if you want to move it into part shade, that's okay. Just watch it so it doesn't get sunburned. Orchids can handle lower light situations, so to speak. So I would start it in the shade.
I was thinking it's not surprising that we're having a lot of tomato plant questions today.
Yes. Tis the season. We love our tomatoes in Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Now, this texter says some of our tomato plants have the leaves curling up. The bottom few branches look good. What's happening there?
Sometimes the leaves, it's called tomato leaf curl. It actually is a response, a physiological response to hot weather. And we did have a few days of really hot weather, sudden hot weather, and it just causes the leaves to curl up. They stay green. They still photosynthesize. They never uncurl for the rest of the season. So those top leaves, they could have just been a little more tender, and they were right in the bright sunshine, whereas the bottom leaves had a little bit of shade, so they weren't impacted as much by the sudden, hot, heavy sun that we had for those few days.
This listener says, my mountain ash has brown leaves dropping and the maples never seeded. What's going on there?
I think the maples didn't seed so heavily this year. Mine have not dropped their seeds yet. It's just because of the years of drought. So I wouldn't be too worried about the maples as long as they look nice and healthy. The mountain ash, I would think about perhaps having a certified arborist come and look at it if it's a big tree in your yard. They do tend to get certain diseases, so you just want to watch that. However, it could just be damage from squirrels biting off leaves and then causing the leaves to fall to the ground. So you might want to have a certified arborist look at it at the situation and see what's going on with it.
All right. The listener says, we have two dwarf pure white hydrangeas. Their flowers have tiny little rust spots that are killing the blooms. I see no insects. Do you think this is a disease?
It could just be actual physical rust. They do get a fungus, a rust, because of the damp weather. Sometimes those white flowers sometimes can show that damage a little more. Also, hail can damage things and then cause it to brown up a little bit. If it looks really horrible, then cut off the flowers so you're not seeing it. Depending upon what kind of hydrangea it is, it may rebloom with more flowers. Or maybe you just won't have those flowers to look at this year, but next year will be different. I wouldn't worry if the rest of the plant looks healthy that it's a disease. It could even just be little insects nibbling on it, and then they go away, and now you just have the damage from the damaged little flowers.
Teresa, this listener is looking for recommendations. They have a 4x10 plot garden. They want to know about fertilization and other general maintenance. Any recommendations, any tips for that?
Yep. First of all, I'd go to the Extension website. It depends on what you're growing, whether you're growing a perennial garden, whether you're trying to grow a cover crop, whether you're trying to grow veggies, and what veggies you're growing. So it really depends on what you're growing. But generally, healthy soils don't always need a fertilizing. Most of your perennial plants don't always need fertilizing. Your vegetables do because you're withdrawing so much of the fruit and you're taking a lot out, so they're not replenishing themselves as quickly. But a lot of the perennials don't need a lot of fertilizing if the soil is nice and healthy. And you can always get a soil test to test whether or not that soil is lacking. And that soil test will tell you if you need to be fertilizing, depending upon what you're growing in that garden bed.
Okay. Listener says this via text, how deep a barrier do I need to stop encroaching daylilies?
Probably I would go down at least a foot, if not a little bit deeper, so that you could do that. That's what I would try, at least a foot. That's pretty lot of work to do, but go for it.
Okay, and 1 week from today is the Hennepin Master Gardener. What do you call it again?
It's the Hennepin Master Gardener Learning Garden Tour, because we're supposed to be teaching you stuff, so it's Learning Garden. And if you can't go to the tour, head out to the Arboretum. There's lots of cool stuff going on out there.
Oh, absolutely. Always go to the Arboretum, and once you go, you'll be taking friends and relatives there.
You will be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Teresa, always a pleasure. You have a good rest of the weekend and a good week, and I'm sure we will be chatting again here in the next couple weeks or so.
We will. It's been my pleasure. Take care, everyone.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. That's coming along next hour. I want to remind you that I'll be filling in tomorrow morning for the vacationing Susie Jones. And on our health hour tomorrow, you may have heard that the Surgeon General is asking for social media warning labels. We're going to be talking to a psychologist tomorrow, who's a local psychologist, about that very thing, among other subjects as well. So if you have kids and grandkids and you're concerned about that too, you can join us. We'll be talking with David Nathan tomorrow on the health show. Right now in the Twin Cities, 67 degrees. Stay with us.